You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast, the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators, fractional COO firm. We are going to learn from our guest today how to live like you just survived a crisis. And I want to ask everybody to please help the content and the knowledge that we are sharing with our guest today and our other guests get out to more people. And so please like, follow, subscribe, leave a review, leave a comment, whatever you're able to do on the platform on which you are listening to or watching this. Please do that so that this content can get out to more people. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today. He is a coach, speaker, and author through his company, Live Bold Coaching. He's the author of Waiting to Die, Running to Live, which I'll share a link to in the description. And his name is Michael Burke. You can learn more about him and his coaching services and his work, his mission at michaelburkecoaching.com. And with that, I would welcome you, Michael. Nice to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
Awesome. And so we'll just love to ask you, if you don't mind, like I ask all my guests, we're talking about live, run your business like you just survived a crisis. We're going to be talking about mental fitness. Give us a quick 2-minute background. I know it's impossible to condense into 2 minutes, but just so that we have a little context to where you came from and how you got to be teaching about and talking about what we're talking about today.
Yeah. What has me interested in these topics we'll talk about is three big areas of my life. First, I was born with cystic fibrosis. And at 1 year old, I was given 5 years to live. So that has is an ever-present thing in my life. So I wanted to learn how to live with joy and beat the odds. Second, as a up-and-comer, as an up-and-coming leader, I was frustrated with people. I didn't understand why they didn't work hard and listen to wise counsel and, you know, all those things that can lead to success. And I didn't want to be frustrated with people. So I really wanted to learn to know what makes them tick. And then with this underlying condition that I have, which really destroys the lungs, I take 13,000 pills a year just to digest food. And the hydrating mechanism in my body doesn't work right. So I dehydrate rapidly. I've run 9 full marathons, 20 half marathons. I'm a 70.3 Ironman competitor and have done all kinds of other crazy endurance stuff. Gosh. So I wanted to live to the fullest. I wanted to really accomplish bold things and just be happy and be a great leader. I wanted to really connect with people and be a positive influence. So that is the background of what really drives everything. And so out of these many challenges and goals, that's where Live Bold comes from. Because in a crisis, whether it's acute crisis or an ongoing crisis, our brain does some very limiting things that are unbold.
Wow. I mean, I had my questions ready, but that's unbelievable. It doesn't seem possible that after a lifetime, you've got some, for those listening on audio, you have some gray hair in your beard. And so for someone who's old enough to have that and who had to have done all of that with triathlons, I think you said, and marathons and half marathons without, you know, with destroyed lungs, and without hydration or the ability to like normally hydrate, I don't see how that's possible. So that is truly remarkable. Obviously, we have a lot to learn from you. And so to help the people who are listening to or watching this, so to see themselves in what you're about to teach, what do these business owners, these people's lives look like? What are people's lives looking like who are not yet adopting this mental fitness approach and, you know, and positivity?
Yeah. A lot of what I hear with my clients and just out in the world is their people. And then, of course, their businesses are vastly underperforming. They know deep in their bones that more is possible, but they just don't know why people are underperforming. they again feel really stuck in these lesser results because they're trying a lot of things. The business owners I know and talk to, they're trying everything to get people motivated and get them moving and focused, and they're just not finding a root cause solution. So it's almost like banging their head against the wall. And then they want some freedom. They want freedom of having a workforce that, say they're on vacation or they just want to skip out on a day, that they know confidently the workforce is humming, getting the work done, maybe even doing a little extra, so they can have that freedom. That's a lot of what I hear.
And so, like, I guess as you, if you could say a little more than you did before, you can go a little bit more in depth in terms of, I guess, in your own business journey as a business leader, how your challenges or maybe health problems or whatever, like how that came up for you, and what things were like for you maybe before you learned and adopted some of these tools.
Yeah. So my journey is this personal thing about happiness, like life satisfaction. Then there's performance. And then there, you know, and then overcoming goals. So living, achieving, and overcoming. It's all tied in. And not everybody has this, you know, life-threatening disease in their background, but there's maybe some medium challenges that are frustrating, you know? So on the personal side with this thing in the background, I just, it's ongoing. It's 13,000 pills a year, 500 hours of therapy every year. Sitting in machines, breathing in stuff to, you know, help you thrive. And I don't like any of it, right? Who likes taking that many pills and doing the therapy? But it was life-saving. And I had to figure out a way to stay motivated doing the difficult things, the things I really didn't like to do. So I was on that constant search to not be burdened by these things, to, man, if I could, love them. And that actually happened. I was so motivated by negative things. It's what we call avoidance goals. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to, I don't. And what we didn't know back then, we do know now, is when we're pursuing avoidance goals, we actually feel helpless. We don't feel we can manage those. And we have literally depressive and anxious thoughts about avoidance goals. So I didn't know this, but the light switched for me when I said, you know what? I'm going to go get stuff in life. I want to live to the fullest. And that meant having a career, even though I was facing this disease. So my focus became positive, even though the thing was still with me. Right. And that's exactly what happened with the marathons too. If I was to run 26.2 miles without stopping, with a body that doesn't breathe well, doesn't digest food, and dehydrates, had to figure out a bunch of stuff, right? So those are normal challenges that an endurance athlete has, and then I've got it tripled, or, you know, I multiply. With that positive focus, I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to do something no one else has done before. Just fueled this creativity, this creative problem solving within me. And I felt able to do it because it was an approach goal. Mm-hmm. I was no longer pursuing things I didn't want. I was pursuing things I did want. So I became really happy too, like really engaged and purposeful, and, you know, to sum all that up, that's happy, happy and focused.
So maybe like put that together. When you talk about mental fitness, this concept that you teach and the people who attend your courses and your coaching, what is mental fitness?
So yeah, thanks. Mental fitness is your ability to respond to life's challenges with a set of skills that come from a very specific region of your brain. And those skills are creative problem solving, purpose alignment, innovation, and always knowing, you know, what's important. So what we teach is the ability to get to those things instantly, within 10 seconds, no matter what's going on in life or business. So generally, when a challenge hits, we're using a very specific region of your brain. It's the limbic system over on the left side of your brain. And all it knows is what's wrong with the situation. Its function is real tunnel visioned. It only sees what's wrong. It's not very creative problem solver. So what we, the first, actually the very first thing we teach is called a brain activation technique. So within 10 seconds, you actually deactivate that negative center of your brain and activate the middle prefrontal cortex, which is where all this creativity and purpose alignment and joy come from. They're very different functions of your brain.
While I'm sure that skill is something that probably takes a lot of time to learn, and I'm sure it takes a lot of time to teach, are you able to share, like at least a high level, what does that look like? How does somebody switch from the limbic part of their brain to the prefrontal cortex part of the brain when they're going through, when they have a stressful trigger in their business or their life? What does that look like, that 10-second switch?
Yeah, Ben, it is not hard to learn. It doesn't take time. It is so simple. It borders hard to believe. And if we want to get weird here for a second, we're going to do something that might seem weird to the audience, but it is, I guarantee it is very scientific, very researched. If they were to just rub their fingers together, just like this.
Okay. I'm doing it.
And sometimes it helps to close your eyes, but sometimes you can do it right here and really focus your mind. Command your mind upon your fingertips. So with such focus, you can feel your fingertip ridges. You do that for 10 seconds and you snap out of the negative mind and you activate the middle prefrontal cortex at the very same time, doing the very same simple technique. Here's how it works. You can't outthink your brain. Your brain is a thinking machine. That's all it does. So if you're in the limbic system, you need a way to get out of the limbic system. Otherwise, you're stuck in the box. You're stuck in the negative box. So it's going to find limited and negative solutions. So by deactivating that part of your brain and activating this part of your brain, you get out of the box thinking. Truly out of the box thinking. Creativity, purpose alignment, innovation. And it's 10 seconds. And anybody can learn this within almost instantly.
Right. How is that concept connected in any way to the idea of stimming or self-stimulation that is used by people with autism spectrum disorders?
You know, that's not an area that I'm very familiar with.
Just curious.
As an athlete, I'm familiar with this. So say I'm training for a marathon, you know, running 18 miles and 85 degrees here in the Midwest. And I'm in my head, this is stupid. I don't need to be doing this. It's so hot. My body hurts. That negative thinking is going to decrease my performance. We actually know that that slows an athlete down. So what I would do before this, I didn't know this positive intelligence, this mental fitness for a long time. But I found the magic. What I would do is I would just really concentrate on my feet hitting the pavement. And I would listen to the sound and I would get back into the rhythm of my pace. And then because I'm focused on a sense, you know, that my feet and feet hitting the ground and the sound of that, then those negative thoughts go away because your brain can't do two things at once. So if you command your mind upon a sense, it snaps the negative thinking pattern.
And how does it switch it to a different type of thinking?
Because you're at the same time activating the what we call the sage part of your brain. So this negative part of the brain we call saboteur. And the technique thus activates this sage mind. Now, the function that translates from this to that, that's science that I'm not, I don't know the mechanics of that.
Right.
But here's what I do know. Under a functional MRI machine, when I'm doing this, we can see the activity in the negative brain dimming and the activity in your sage mind lighting up. We can see it under a functional MRI machine happening.
That's remarkable. I know several people who've spoken very positively about this PQ training course that you have given. What is PQ and how is it connected to what we're talking about now?
Okay. So PQ stands for positive quotient. Like EQ is a measurement of emotional intelligence. IQ is obviously, intelligence. PQ is the quotient, how often you're in this part of your brain and how often your brain is serving you rather than sabotaging you. So just maybe try to bring this to light. One of my saboteurs of the mind, automatic pattern of thinking, is the avoider. And, when you're 15 and you read your life expectancy is 18, that is really unpleasant and scary. So what my brain did is it started avoiding all tough things. I didn't want to think about it. So what happened then is I'm avoiding cystic fibrosis. I'm not really taking the medicine. I didn't want to go to the doctors. I didn't want to raise money. I didn't even want to think about anything. And because of all that avoiding that was going on, I ended up making myself sicker. Whereas when I finally heard, really recognized that avoiding in my life, that's when I started running marathons. I didn't want to avoid anymore. I wanted to lean in, but I didn't know I was avoiding. No one ever gave me the clear language. No one ever said, hey, Mike, it looks like you might be avoiding this whole thing. I just didn't know it was hidden. But when I heard it, I didn't want it anymore. So that moment was, on my 31st birthday, when I read my life expectancy was 28. I had beat the odds, afraid of this thing, avoiding this thing. And I was like, wow, I wonder how much better I could do if I leaned in. And so that was the day I set in my mind, I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to beat this thing, not by avoiding it, but by heading right into it.
One of the things you said earlier was that when you were describing people who are not mentally fit, who don't focus on this positive, maybe they're a lot in the negative or in the avoider. As you described it, one of their challenges is we got a team that's not engaged. They don't know how to get out of the business. They don't know how to take a day off. What's the connection between those two things?
Yeah. So this, the way that our brain works, it recruits some helpers, right? We see a problem, right? Or even sometimes a goal, and we want to fix that goal. But if we're locked into the negative part of the brain, we're going to find negative solutions. So drive is amazing. And self-starting is amazing, right? Goal orientation, love all that. But when the saboteur mind gets a hold of that, we call it hyperachieving. And a hyperachieving saboteur is never, never happy with whatever is accomplished. Like you get an accomplishment and for 1 second you might be like, okay, well, that should have happened. We worked hard. There's no joy.
Right.
And so then we turn into maybe workaholic and we abandon relationships, right? Sometimes family and friends. And that's wonderful drive getting hijacked by your brain, turning it into something saboteur. And so what's interesting now, this hyperachieving, a lot of people are like, yeah, man, I love that about me. And what I would say is I love your drive and I love your focus. And I love the way you can take a challenge and make it into an opportunity. The challenge there, though, is everyone knows it's about your success. And, you know, I have personal experience with this. I had a pretty active hyperachiever going on when I became the youngest director of sales for Omni Hotels. Like I was focused on my goal and I was going to turn around that hotel. And I think everybody knew it. My goal was my goal. And you're kind of a cog in my machine.
Mm-hmm.
So the hyperachiever gets so focused on success, it forgets that there's other parts of life. And when the success comes, it's not happy anyway.
So bridge that gap to, you know, you talked about team not being engaged. You talked about not being able to take time off for examples, or maybe the effects of an underlying cause. How does that positive orientation, you know, and ability to, yes, be grateful, yes, rejoice, yes, be focused on the positive, not just the negative. How does that bridge the gap? How does that connect to the next step?
Yeah. So, this brain activation technique gets you out of the hyperachieving, out of the avoiding, out of victim, out of pleasing. There's some very specific ways, and you start using a different part of your brain. So it uses the underlying strengths of these saboteurs, but doesn't overplay them. So think about the workforce. If I'm a leader and I'm avoiding, I'm setting the culture. If I'm hyperachieving, not ever happy with success, I'm setting that culture. If I'm pleasing people, just trying to make everyone happy, and not being real with them, that's setting the culture, right? If I have a victim saboteur and I just feel like everything's too much and people don't understand me, I'm setting the culture. And we don't know this, but we can spot the behavior, and we just model the behavior as a workforce. And then so what happens is if my avoider's out of control, say I'm procrastinating on a big project,
mm-hmm.
and I've got someone who likes to get stuff done, we're doing, right, energetic battle, right? Because that person wants to get it done, and I'm avoiding getting stuff done. So you've got this built-in what we call saboteur contagion. Because the person who wants to get it done, they're going to get frustrated at me, and then we're going to clash. Sometimes that's an open clash. Sometimes that's just an energetic clash where I don't want to be around that person, so my collaboration with them is diminished. So, you know, if we've got all these different saboteurs running around, hypervigilance, people who can't rest with their vigilance, like they see everything wrong everywhere, that is going to be difficult for others who have a more positive inclination. So we need good vigilance. As an example, we need someone who can maybe have the forethought, oh, this could go wrong, that could go wrong. I'm good at that. But if that becomes a hypervigilance, they get real stuck because it becomes a very fearful based thing.
Right.
So that hypervigilance doesn't allow them to move forward. So to answer your question, we have this saboteur contagion, where the left side of my brain, that saboteur brain, is throwing out negative energy, negative thought, negative behavior. People are catching that, and then they're spreading their own. And we learned that from Daniel Goleman in Emotional Intelligence, right? Emotions are contagious. So if we can get this all lessened, get into the right side of our brain, we can spread a sage contagion, a positive contagion.
Awesome. As a penultimate question, what's a story or example of somebody that you've worked with who's, you know, taking this coaching, this course? What was going on with them before? What happened, and what happened after?
Yeah. So one of my favorite stories is a newly appointed chief innovation and experience officer for a company. First time this person had this kind of position. And it got in their head. Am I qualified to do this? You know, we've heard of the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit of that. Brilliant, brilliant person. Decades and decades of experience. But she didn't have the degree that others had. So that got in her head. And so what happens is she wasn't contributing in ways that she was absolutely capable of. So this little bit of self-doubt coming from the left side of her brain, I call it uncharacteristic self-doubt,
mm-hmm.
got a hold of her. And her performance started dipping. And the person who referred me in saw her brilliance, right? And saw that she was struggling and asked me to speak with her. And in such a short time, she was able to do these brain activation techniques, hearing that voice of self-doubt that just didn't belong, and getting then doing the brain activation into the positive part of her brain, where that negative stuff just doesn't live. And so all of a sudden her performance starts going up in her job. And the best thing, she calls me one day and she said, "Mike, we're sitting in a board meeting and I contributed to the financial conversation. I contributed to the production conversation." I said, "Well, what happened to you?" She said, "I'm smart. I'm so experienced. I don't know everything about finance, but I saw some stuff and I wanted them to know." She just started really blossoming. She was coming into her own because the self-doubt was gone. Well, not 100% gone, but significantly reduced.
Right.
And what makes this story even more special to me is the day before we started working together, she was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And it's
great timing.
Well, you can imagine, right?
I mean,
you have this huge promotion, which is enough pressure. Then you have this radical life-changing thing. And I'm just so proud of this person because within weeks, she's just handling everything so remarkably well. The treatments, the, you know, the low energy, and this person's a go-getter.
Yeah.
So to be experiencing low energy was very foreign and unsettling. So we were able to discuss these things and get her with the brain activation technique, get out of the frustration into, hey, it's just a little season of life. It's going to pass. What's the most important thing right now? Getting healthy. Okay. And that helped her delegate where she would never delegate before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when we get to the root level solution, so many things blossom. So in positive intelligence, as mental fitness, we say we improve peak performance, we improve relationships, and we improve happiness. And those are huge, huge promises, But because we're getting to the root cause of it, brain science, brain activity, we have the data to show that this is what happens with seven weeks of mental fitness.
All right. Now, that's amazing. I mean, for those who do want to learn more on mental fitness, on PQ, positivity quotient, positivity intelligence, Michael Burke, everything that you do, they can go to michaelburkecoaching.com and get in touch with you. Any other ways that people should reach out to you or where they can?
No, that would be, those two would be really good. Yeah, obviously on LinkedIn. So yeah.
All right. So awesome. Reach out to Michael on LinkedIn, on michaelburkecoaching.com. And I appreciate you making the time to teach and speak about what we're talking about today.
Thank you, Ben. So great to be on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And everybody else, we will see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.